If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the beginning. Genesis chapter 24, verse 10. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose, and he went to Mesopotamia in the city of Nahor. And he made the camels to kneel down out without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. For behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the daughter of Nahor, Abraham's brother, and her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down the pitcher upon his hand and gave him drink. And when he had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied the pitcher in the trough and ran again under the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel's weight and two bracelets for the hands of 10 shekels weight of gold. And he said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, pray, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge? In the 58th verse, the 24th chapter, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they went away, Rebekah their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gates of those which hate them. And Rebekah rose and her damsels and the rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahori Roah, and dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out of the mediate in the field in the evening tide, and lifted up his eyes, and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And he said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that had been done him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand. Look them right in the eye. Take the hand, look at them, and say, hey, don't shoot your camels. The title of the sermon today is simply this: don't shoot your camels. I love church. It's a place where I can come and rest from the world and get my needs met from God. Problem is, on the way to miracles is not an easy road. Not always given a spiritual Mercedes to ride. God draws us to miracles. He sent someone to help us. It's called the Holy Spirit, that leads, guides, and directs us into all truth and takes us where God wants us to be. Eleazar, the servant of Abraham, was a typology or a shadow of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, prove that, preacher. Well, you've got a father who needs a bride for his son. And he takes the servant Eleazar and says, hey, I want you to go find a bride. And he sends Eleazar, representing the Holy Spirit, into the Gentile world to find a bride for his son. Can I tell you today, that's what the Holy Spirit of God is doing. It's putting together a church that's going to be the bride of Christ. And there's coming a time down the road when the Spirit of God is going to take this church. The Son of God's going to step out on the clouds of glory. The trump of God's going to sound, and the church, the blood-bought of God, are going to be caught up with the Spirit, and we're going to go to meet the Lord in the air, and there's going to be a wedding supper like never been this world or anything's ever contained. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. I believe it's not going to be long till we're going to make it there. Could you say amen? But don't you notice something? Eleazar went seeking. John 6:44 simply says, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent him draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. You know, I'd be afraid today if I didn't feel the Spirit of God touching me every once in a while. I'd be afraid today if I didn't feel him drawing me. Amen. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm not talking about when I sing Granny's favorite song. Come on, church. Some of y'all need to smile at me because y'all know they get Granny's song going, you're going to lose it. But if the only time you can feel the Spirit's when they're playing Granny's favorite song, you need to check your bowl because your spoons fell out and ain't none stirring it. Glory. Because a real move of the Spirit is when you get along with God and the Spirit of God gets to touching you, and it ain't just a song, it ain't just an emotion, it ain't just an excitement, but you can feel the presence and the power of God just kind of enveloping the area you're in and letting you know, I'm still here and I'm still with you and you're not forsaken. It's kind of like that still small voice in the cave for Elijah, or it's kind of like the dance that hit David walking down the street, or it's kind of like praying while you're holding the enemy at bay saying, one more time, God, just let me feel that anointing that I can move in your spirit. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. But notice this. Not only did the servant went seeking, but the servant took the initiative to do something. You ever notice we think we got it figured out and everything turns into chaos? You know, we get to thinking, I'm on the brink of a miracle. Everything goes crazy. You're sitting there going, man, I got to hold on reality. And then you realize you don't want to hold the reality you got to hold of. Some of y'all looking at me like I've got you in my back pocket right now. See, I got a God knows where we are. Some of y'all been hanging on some reality, and you've been in reality show 101. It's one of them, like, you know, Survivor series, and you're about to get voted off the island, and you just realized it. Amen. But the truth of the matter is that's where some of us are. But you know what? Time now is to believe God anyway. Could you say amen? It's time to hang on and believe my God is able to do great things. But don't you notice something else? The Bible said the servant brought camel. Now, church, camels are beasts of burden. Y'all know what a camel is, don't you? Whether it's a one hump or a two hump, whether it's a dromedary or just a regular camel, whether it's from India or Africa. I mean, they're some ugly creatures. You ever seen them? I mean, they're ugly. Not only they're ugly, but them some of the most mean-spirited things you ever got around your life. There is a reason why them guys handling a camel always keeps that little switch-like thing in his hand, because if he don't, that camel will bite him. They will spit on you in a heartbeat. And they get about dead. They worse than donkeys about being hard-headed. Hello? I'm not going nowhere with that. I never forget years ago, we were in Texas and we went to one of those drive-through animal reserves. And this is, we went in the door, there was a camel there. I rolled the window down, called him over like I was going to give him something, and patted him on the nose, and he stuck his head in the door and, you know, got it in the window, and I had to roll the window up on his nose a little bit to make him get out. Do you know that joker followed us all the way through? We went through that thing. We went by hippos and rhinos and elephants, and that thing was behind us. He'd run up, kick the car, bite the bumper, spit on the window. We got to the gate, and the dude had to take a stick and hit that camel because he was trying to follow us out the gate. He wanted some more. He hadn't got me enough. You know, and we got, camels are like that. And you say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? Well, you got to understand, even though they're unfriendly and loners, mean-spirited, amen, they're a gift of God. See, what we got to understand is, Psalms 34:19 said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver them out of all these afflictions. When troubles come to the child of God, we need to draw closer to God. The devil don't understand how it works. You ever notice when trouble comes, folks will pray when they won't pray any other times? And the devil's so dumb, he keeps causing problems, so we'll pray. Hello? Trouble comes, people will get a Bible and read it when they won't read it any other time. And the devil ain't figured that thing out yet. And he gets a hold of a child of God, tries to throw trouble our way. And next thing you know, we're praying and we're fasting and we're moving and we're getting closer to God. I wish it wasn't that way, but read your Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, everybody in that talks about had a time they got away from God. And when trouble come, they always turned to God. And they turned their face toward him and started going, what have I got to do to get back over there? And that's the way it works today. We're no different from anybody else. But we need to understand God is still on the throne. Amen. Listen, John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. For the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm going to have trouble, but the one I serve and the one I hang on to, the one that I abide in, that man has already overcome the world. And my Bible tells me, what is going to separate me from the love of God? Will it be famine or pestilence or nakedness or sword? He said, nay, in all these things I am more than a conqueror through him who hath loved me, who has already overcome the world. And because he's overcome the world, in him I can live and move and have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory. See, we're still in the flesh. Everybody take your arm and pinch it. You ever heard that stuff? Don't get in the flesh. I've been in churches where they say, don't get in the flesh. And I'm like, dummy, I'm already in the flesh. I got to get out of it, get in the spirit. Glory. I've never understood that. Don't get in the flesh. I come in the building in the flesh. I got up in the flesh. I'm going to bed tonight in the flesh, lest I die. If I do, y'all have a good time at camp meeting. Glory. I know my wife will. She'll be rich. Glory. One of the things I worry about in life is them insurance papers with the anointing oil on them. I ain't figured that out yet. Glory. And as long as we're in the flesh, we're going to have tribulation. As long as we're in this world, problems are going to come. But notice this, Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that the tribulations work patience. You know what happens when we get in trouble? The more problems we have, the more we begin to realize, my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all I ever ask or think. What was it Andre Crouch wrote years ago? Oh, through it all. I mean, I thank God for the mountains, but I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the trials he's brought me through. Because if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God could do. But he said, God, I thank you, because in everything I learned to wait on you. I learned to trust in you. Listen, Paul tells us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What did he say? He said, hey, I'm looking at everything going on, and I realized my light affliction. So wait a minute, preacher, what are you talking about light affliction? He basically says, whatever happens to you down here is nothing to compare to what you're going to get when you get over there. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul said, I don't care what I got to go to. Now, church, y'all got to understand something. Ain't none of y'all been locked up and beat at night. He was. Ain't none of y'all been stoned to death, went to heaven, and had to come back. That's a bummer, ain't it? I ever get out of here, I ain't coming back. Hello? Paul died, went to heaven, and God said, go back. You know that had to be rough, because he had to get in a body, been beat to death with stones. He got all that pain. He didn't have no Vicodin or nothing to take. Glory. He couldn't run to the emergency room, get the lotta. He was just going to have to deal with it. But God sent him back anyway. But he said, what we get down here is nothing to compare what we're going to have. 2 Timothy 3:2. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know this ain't good TV preaching, but it's the truth. And it's time some of us realize there is a wall out there that every once in a while you're going to hit. Amen. There are going to be great things that's going to happen every once in a while. And you say, preacher, don't say that. It might happen. You're going to talk it into existence. If I don't say it, it's still going to happen. You can't talk trouble into existence. It's already there. There is a real devil who wants to tear you down and try in every way he can. There are troubles out there we create on our own. But the truth of the matter is, as long as I hold on to God, I got a God that's going to bring me through. I got a God that's going to help me. Could you say amen? Amen. Glory. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you. I done read that, hadn't I? We fail when problems come, and we can't do without God. God just sends good things. That's what people think. Church, have you not ever read your Bible? I see Jonah running from God. He gets on a boat. Who sent the storm and hit the boat? God. So God don't always just send good stuff. Sometimes he shakes our world up so he can get our attention. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. There are three types of storms going to happen in your life. One is the devil does it. Not everything that goes wrong in your life is the devil. Some of y'all need to grow up. If the sound system blows up right now, it ain't the devil. Robert's running it. Love you, brother. I was preaching one time to church and the sound system kept messing up. Somebody said, the devil did it. I said, I agree. It was my brother-in-law. But we're bad about that. The devil blew up your car. No, my daughter was driving it when it started, and I was when it finished. But we love to blame him because we figure we might as well. But now notice something. Sometimes God sends the trouble that's in your life because he's trying to get your attention to keep you from getting in something you don't need to get into. Sometimes, church, life happens. It ain't got nothing to do with the devil. It ain't got nothing to do with God. It's just life. My granddad died. He was 97 years old. I loved him to death. He was my hero. I'm standing beside his casket. My aunt's going, oh, why did God take my daddy? You got to understand, my aunt was 70-something. Why did God take my daddy? I said, God didn't take your daddy. She said, you think the devil got him? I said, my God, you know better than that. He was filled with the Holy Ghost for 85 years. The devil wasn't going to get nowhere around the dude. My papa was wild. He come to Buell to visit one time, missed the turn, went to Columbus, Mississippi. He found a church having homecoming. He came back with three things of food, takeout plates. He showed up at the house. He said, my God, I'm glad I missed. They had church. He said, I'm coming back next year. God didn't take my dad. Granddaddy was 97 years old. Look, man, I said, look, he lived 20-something years past life expectancy. You ought to be saying, thank God my daddy lived and had a great life and really loved God, and now he's been elevated. Come on, church. My granddaddy didn't exist till he was 97, and he was dating at 95. Had a wreck on the way home at his girlfriend's house about 2 o'clock in the morning. Wreck and tore his car up. I went up to see him a couple weeks later to check on him, and I got in his house, and he was sitting there in the living room. I said, Papa, where'd you get that new car? He said, I bought it. I said, how'd you get it? Oh, your aunt thinks I'm a baby. Told that guy at the bank not loan me no money, but I went and got me a car. I got to have a car. I got three women I'm dating. He had one for church, one for the food markets, and one for going over to Georgia to buy Cokes or something. Lord. I said, where'd you get the money? He said, out of my stash. He said, come here, boy, I trust you. He took me to a shiffer robe in the back, was full of shoe boxes. He goes up and runs his hand down to a certain box, turns, goes to another box, pulls it out. There was $10,000 cash still in that shoe box. He said, this is where I got my car. I keep it. Don't tell you ain't about it. I need my own cash. Lord. I'm telling you, church, he didn't die. It was just nature. Hello? Sometimes we got to deal with those things. When God sends camels to us, which are the things that takes us through the trouble. Come on, church. See, in life, there are beasts of burdens. In spirit, there are things that help us get where God wants us to be. They're the Spirit of God, the anointing, a problem that takes us from where we are to where we need to be in God. And those camels are there, and they're going to take us to the place where God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. Could you say amen? See, church, camels take us through the dry, barren places that we can't make it through without some help. The problem is some of you shoot your camels. I ain't going to accept that. That's a new thing going on in the church world. It's called denial. It ain't faith. Faith is, I don't care if there is a furnace, I'm going in it and coming out or winning. Either way it goes, because I got a God. Glory. Denial is, it ain't there. I know I smell it. I know I can feel the heat, but it ain't there. I know I'm broke, but I got money somewhere. It's just going to show up in that bank account. Glory. Come on, church. I heard that stuff. I had my knee tore all to pieces, and I'm laying there in the bed, and the girl come in. She said, well, we got morphine for you for that pain. I said, I ain't going to accept it. I got 20-something screws in that knee holding it together and a cast on it, and I'm laying there, and I'm feeling good because they gave me a spinal tap while they were working. I ain't feeling nothing. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm standing up on that button. That girl said, what you want? I said, I'll take a jar of that morphine to start with, and as much as you can throw in, I'm accepting this, buddy. Glory. It was some 8 o'clock in the morning before that finally quit hurting, and I didn't wait no longer. They put one of them pumps on, and I'd sit there talking to people. Now, I wasn't getting all of it, but it felt good. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Don't matter whether you accept it or not. If there's something in your life you need to deal with, just not accepting it is not going to solve the problem. If you broke, you broke. Quit denying it. Quit trying to act like it ain't there. Quit shooting the camel and do what she did. See, tribulation worketh patience. It's not just a sweet feeling of joy. Hello? God sends those camels to get us where we need to go. But when we avoid the tough spots, we don't grow. That's why we got so many people in the church that ain't got no real spiritual background. They keep running away from the things God's trying to take them through to get them where they need to be. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? Number one, point one, I got 6 minutes. Rebecca watered the camels. Didn't mind a little tribulation. See, she didn't just draw that one pot, let that one go over and get a sip. They drank gallons. She's got a 2-gallon container in most cases. I don't know if y'all familiar with the Middle East, but wells aren't dug on top of the ground. Because there's zero humidity, that well would just simply dissipate. They dig a cave on an angle down, usually about 25 to 30 steps to the bottom, and then they dig the well. That way the water don't just dissipate. She's got to go down, get that pitcher full, bring it up, pour it. We got 10 camels. They drank 40-something gallons of water apiece. She makes that trip up and down, up and down, up and down, until it's full. See, that's what the guy was doing. He said, my master's son needs a wife. Let me pick the right one. Then he asked something he knew was going to have to be of God if she did it. Some of y'all got problems right now because you was praying and said, oh, God, you want me to do this? Let it work out. And it worked out, but it wasn't a good workout, and you took it, and now you're blaming God. If you're driving a car you bought because you thought God wanted you to get it simply because he worked it out for him to finance it. Hello? It's not always God. When you pray and you say you're going to put a fleece before God, put something out there that ain't likely to happen. God, you want me to have that car? Let it be half price with no money down and zero interest. Now, if God does that, you've got a pretty good idea he's involved. I've had people get married. Oh, I know it's God. God showed them to me in a dream. And they get married 6 months later. Oh, I messed up, preacher. That was a nightmare, not a dream. I had a preacher call me one day, pastor of the church in Alabama. He said, I'm moving to Arkansas. I said, why in the world you want to move to Arkansas? Oh, I put a fleece before God. I told him I was going up there to preach at this church. And he said, I told the Lord if he'd have somebody offer me a little piece of money. I knew it was him wanting me to go there. Some lady picked up a penny on a sidewalk and handed him, said, preacher, here, take this with you. He said, I knew it was God. First Sunday's at the church, he calls me. I'm riding down the road going through Montgomery. He said, God, I have messed up. I don't even want to preach this morning. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, you're going to stay in Arkansas. Church, you got to learn to get a hold of God. Rebecca said, hey, I'm going to pay the price because I want to see what's on the other side. Amen. Notice this. She rode her camel. Point two. That's not easily done. I've been on 2 or 3 camels. Have you ever watched a camel run? You know, racehorses, when they're running, it's a thing of beauty. They're like beagle dogs. When a horse is running like a beagle dog, there's literally times that that horse is flying because his feet are totally off the ground because he's moving them in succession. Front feet hit, back feet hit, they all come up. He leaves the ground between jumps, and he's moving. Beagles run that way. Camels ain't like that. Their left front goes one way, the right front goes one way, the back leg goes one way, the other leg goes one way. Now, they ain't worth a flip when you're on dead ground. Because you on top. especially when they get to running, because then you're doing this on top of this other, and you're hanging on for dear life, just hoping the stupid thing will stop. Now, if you're in the sand, you like that because they can't get stuck because they've always got a foot loose and moving. That's what they're made that way for. But if you're going to ride a camel, you got to learn how to do it right. You don't just get up there. Because if you do, you're going to find yourself off there real quick. Notice she rode the camel. It's, you know, kind of like going with the flow. Like when you get in worship, instead of trying to do your own thing, you go where God wants you to instead of bucking the system. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. You see, to ride a camel, you really need something like a miniature saddle thing. I had one. They actually had a little thing on it. It was like a saddle you could sit in. It hooked your feet so you could hold on. You could grab that horn and grab that rein, and you could have big time. I rode one, didn't have one, and I spent half the time on the side of the camel trying to figure out if he was going to stop so I could get back on top. See, really, to be able to handle your problems, you got to learn how to get on top of them. Hello? Camel number one, human nature. If you're going to have a saddle to overcome your problems, you got to go to the barn of God's word, and it'll always give you something that'll help you overcome. There is the camel of human nature. The devil knows what it's going to take to make you scream. He knows what it's going to make to get you to give up. You ever had that thought in your mind, if I hear one more word, and the devil's over there going, word. If this car breaks down one more time, battery blows up. Hello? You got to go get a saddle if you're going to ride it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, and who shall also do it. Amen. You got to get to that point where you realize I ain't going to overcome in myself. I can't fix it, but I got a God who's in charge. I got a God that can take care of it. I got a God that doesn't matter what a doctor says, he's still in charge, and he can overrule any doctor. He can overrule any test. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Camel number two, and I'm hurrying. Ain't got but 20. Somebody said, my God, you're my camel. Camel number two, temptation. Oh, preacher, I don't want no temptation. You're not ever going to grow unless you can overcome temptations. If there wasn't no temptations, everybody could live right. But those that make it are the ones that's going to be able to walk by that stuff going, no, I don't need that anymore. I got it made. I don't need that. I can get out of this. I can make it. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but that is common to man. But God is faithful, who is not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will in all temptations make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. Did you hear that? Praise God. If we got a way, we're going to get out. That word escape comes from a Hebrew word which means to be clean gone from. Amen. I don't know if you understand that, but that says I'm not going to have anything get on me I can't handle, but in everything that gets in my life that could tempt me, I've got a way to get out before I'll be clean gone, before it ever gets too bad. And all I got to do is hang on to God. Could you say amen? Camel number three, depression. I'm sad and lonely. You ever been around some people that they can depress you? Had a pastor in the Tuscaloosa area one time come to my office. He said, I need to talk to you. I'm just depressed. And he sat there about 15 minutes. I said, look, could you leave for a while? You're depressing me. Glory. Depression's a real thing we have to deal with. But listen, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. If we do that, we can overcome depression. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Camel number four, some of y'all ain't got to be worried, I really don't have 20. But camel number four is one some of y'all got going on right now, worry. Y'all sitting there worried, oh God, what are we going to do? It's going to rain. It's going to flood. You know, there used to be a cartoon that come on, I used to watch back when I was a kid. I can't remember the name of the cartoon, but they had one guy on there. He was real encouraging. It'll never work. we're doomed. I don't care what was going on. It'll never work. We're doomed. We got people in the church. It's not going to work. We're doomed. Come up with an idea to try something. Oh, it won't work. We ain't never done that before. Might be why you ain't never done nothing sometime. Hello? But we got people in your life. You're worried about everything going on. Can I tell you, worry is the mother of all bad things in your life. Worry causes you to go bald. End up on Zantac and all other kind of nerve pills. Worry's not good for you. Well, preacher, what does the Bible say? Glad you asked. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Proper connotation, do not worry. Amen. You know, the things you worry about ain't never going to happen half the time, or most of them, probably 90% of the time anyway. And that 10% that's going to happen, no matter how bad you worry, they're going to happen. Amen. The last one is recession. We're living at a time of economic downturn. But notice what the Bible tells us in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our fathers be glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory. Church, if we've ever needed anything, we need to get to that place where we quit worrying. We got people worried because one church does good. I was talking to a guy the other day. He says, why do you think old Loran Livingston does it? We don't do. I said, he pastors 7,000 people. I don't know about y'all, but that's what I ain't doing. That's why for the first 3 months of this year, he averaged $1.7 million a month in tithes. Glory. Because I ain't got to deal with all that financial worry either. Glory. But we got people sitting around and worried about where they're going to get their money, where they're going to get their bills to pay, how everything's going. It's all working together, recession, bringing on the worry. And we got people that's, you know, committing suicide because there's something going wrong in their life. I want to tell you something, friend, it ain't worth it. It is not worth it. Hey, man, you're sitting around trying to keep up with the Joneses. Y'all may not believe this, but we got people that buy vehicles because they want to keep up with folks. Huh? It's a status symbol. Next week at camp meeting, there'll be preachers. We'll drive up with Cadillacs. Some of them lease them so they can act like they got a Cadillac. Some of them actually own them, but they don't drive them except to camp meeting. And they'll pull up in the front door, open the door for their wife, help them out. When they wouldn't do that no other time, but they want everybody to see them in that Cadillac. I got one guy, he's a buddy of mine, but he'll walk out and he'll say, what time is it now? And he knows good and well, everybody knows what time it is. He wants you to set Rolex on his arm. What he don't realize is, I know that Rolexes don't jerk. That one does. Which means it's about a $90 knockoff. He is over there showing his Rolex around one night, and I'm going, yeah, buddy. My Bible told me this. Paul, David wrote in Psalms, he said, fret not thyself over evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither like the green herb. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed. Amen. Last point, Rebecca got off the camel. Some of y'all need to get a life. Hello? See, I done got some folks mad with that last one. I can hear free run.
You shouldn't have said that.
You worry too much. Glory. We got folks that if God actually healed you, you couldn't have nothing to talk about. If you got blessed financially, you couldn't do nothing because you wouldn't have a thing to say. It's all you talk about, how bad off you are and how you're hurting. And you talk, how the devil know my back's hurting? Because you tell everybody your past. I'm at camp meeting. This guy comes up. How you doing? Oh, man. He starts giving me this lecture about his church going down. His legs is hurting. His back's hurting. His wife's had a car wreck. He walks off. The next guy comes up and says, how's it going? Well, they broke a bunch out of my place and started another church. And I about had a heart attack over it. And I'm losing money fast. And I'm sitting there going, my God. By the time the third guy goes by, I'm going, can we just go to the altar? I need to pray. Y'all done messed me up big time. Glory. I got to work counting me, and I don't ask nobody how they're doing, because they'll tell you. It's depressing. Somebody call me, how you doing? I always answer the same way. I'm doing pretty good for an old man. Glory. I ain't going to tell them the truth. My car's locked up. My brain's locked up. You know, after a while, you got to quit riding a camel. If it gets you where you need to go, get off. Don't keep riding it. It's not a specialty model just for you. It needs to move on to somebody else so you can get another and take you somewhere else. Daystar International Family Church in Northport. Pastor called a healing service. Two of his deacons missed. He was expecting them, as spiritual leaders of the church, to help him pray for folks for healing that night. He called them on the phone. One guy's, his actual answer, I couldn't come, preacher. I couldn't take no chances. I just got my disability started. If I got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. Glory. I told the pastor, I said, well, one good thing, he had faith. He didn't show up because he was afraid he wouldn't get healed. Glory. But church, we've got people that you need to get off your camel. When Rebecca got where she was going, what did she do? She lit off the camel and got excited because she was there. That's another sermon altogether, but she got off of it when she got where she needed to be. Some of y'all need to let some stuff go. That's good preaching. You need to get God involved and move on. Stand with me. I'm fixing to get you off this camel. Glory. Next week will be sermon number 2 on all you ever wanted to know about camels but was afraid to ask. Amen. Church, I believe there are people in this church who could do some great things for God if you just let that camel take you where you need to go and move on. Because God's ready to take you somewhere else, and you're still hanging around the place you got to. Some of you hanging around a well waiting on water when God's got a better well down the road if you just go to it. Some of you are hanging on to things you ought to be letting go of and saying, God, I need you to move me to where I need to be in you, and then I need to move on. Some of you got legitimate problems that need a legitimate move of God to bring you out. Can I tell you, I've got a God that'll do that for you. The minute you make up your mind, I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust in him, God's going to start to move. Father in heaven, I thank you today for your love, your mercy. God, move on your people today. Touch us with your fire. God, have your way in our service. Minister to us, God, with your glory. God, if there's one here today who's hurting, one who this week ran into a problem and needs your touch, I want you to touch them right now, God. God, help us draw closer to you, because that's where our answers are. It's in your presence that there's fullness of joy. God, move on us with your love. In Jesus' name.